Stories have a shaping power in our lives. They are some of the first things we learn. We learn stories from our parents and grandparents and babysitters. Sometimes stories when we're little, cuddle up in a dark room, hearing a story with parents or babysitters. We learn stories early on in our lives. Then we gradually learn more stories. We learn stories about our families and stories from school and stories about others. And all these stories shape us and our understanding of life. Gradually, our container of stories gets larger to include broader stories, stories from history and from literature, from poetry and songs. And we come to know the complicated nature of current events and politics through stories told. We also learn that stories are told from different perspectives. It all depends on who's telling the story, whether it's the winner or the loser, or the powerful or the powerless. As people who follow Jesus Christ, we affirm that our greatest story is from this book, from the Bible. Here we find the story of life, from creation to eternity. Here we learn the story of love and grace, of sin and forgiveness, of failure and healing. Within the pages of Scripture, we come to know the story of God's love through Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the promise of new life through Christ that comes as a gift. And within the pages of this book, we find the constant drumbeat that God loves us, that God is with us, no matter where we go, and that there's always more about God than we know thus far. This story is told in amazing detail and enormous variety. People of faith are sometimes called people of the book, people of this book, of this story. But these are not just stories. These are words of life. Words of life for us to absorb and to live by. So one of the foundational stories in the Bible is about God calling people to be his own. It began with the Hebrew people and God's call upon Abraham and Sarah, and then Isaac and Rebekah and a long list of others. Later came Moses and God's rescue of the Israelites from Egypt, from slavery. And through Moses, God guided them through 40 years in the wilderness. And after Moses died, Joshua became the leader. And they finally crossed over the Jordan River into what was called the Promised Land. And in the midst of years of warfare and battles, they settled there, these 12 tribes of Israel. It was a new era and a new place. And in this new era and new place, God raised up wise and strong leaders, people called prophets and judges. One was a man named Samuel, who was called a prophet of the Lord. Last Sunday, Pastor Anna preached about Samuel and God's call upon his life when he was a little boy. And he became a powerful leader with an imposing, intimidating presence. He was not to be questioned and he was not to be messed with. But then, of course, Samuel grew old, an old man with two bankrupt, morally bankrupt sons. His sons are described in Scripture as being dishonest, accepting bribes, and perverting justice. So they were clearly not the ones to take Samuel's place as a wise and trusted leader. And here's the story that I'm going to read in a moment. The elders of Israel began complaining to Samuel. His days were coming to an end. He was old, his sons were corrupt, and now looking at the other nations around them, they wanted a king like the other nations had a king. They told Samuel, appoint a king for us. And Samuel said, no, you really don't want a king. You really don't. And they said, we want a king. We know what's best. Give us a king. So Samuel brought this tangle to God. And here's what we have. In 1 Samuel 8, beginning at verse 4. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are now old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all other nations have. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, listen to all the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. Samuel told them all the words of the Lord, all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, this is what the king will reign over you. This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys, he will take for his own. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead our battles and go out before us and fight our battles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it's an old story, but the picture we have here is that Israel's leaders were looking around at other nations. Other nations with strong warrior kings and large armies, monarchies that must have seemed very impressive and maybe invincible. And what did they have? Not a king, just an old prophet. Not a handsome king who they could put at the front of a parade and who could rally the troops into battle, but an old prophet who talked with God and then came back with commands. And now they were so done with that. They wanted a king. They knew that God had led them through all these many years. They knew that God had provided for them when there was no way. They knew that God had been faithful and present despite all their failures. They knew all of that. But we want a king. Just like all the other nations have kings. Thank you very much, God. Thank you very much, Samuel. But now we know what's best. We want a king. As we heard, God basically said, all right, here you go. You can have a king, and now see how it goes. By God's direction, the king Samuel anointed was Saul. Saul was their new king, and things went off the rails fast. He was not faithful to God. It seems that he tried to be faithful, but the lure of unchecked power as a king quickly infested and twisted him. He became self-serving and paranoid and lethally dangerous, which to the whole nation. Things did not go well with Saul. At the end of the story in 1 Samuel, Saul was backed into a corner on a battlefield and fell on his own sword. He suicided. And Saul, his armor-bearer, and three of his sons all died that day. It was a grim ending to a twisted around life. This was not a glowing period of Israel's history, but it was a revealing period. We heard it in what God said to Samuel. It's not you they've rejected, it's me they've rejected. Now that's an old story. And it's a large and dramatic story. But if we hold on to it as just long ago and far away, then we have not heard it rightly. Because these very dynamics continue to be at play today. The lure of power, the craving to have what others have, the rejection of God and God's direction in favor of what we want, right? This rejection of God might not be blatant. It might not be an overt turning away from God, It might not be a denial of Jesus Christ. Instead, it can happen to us in small steps. A turn here, a turn there, an adaptation here, a modification there. Adapting how we live and what we believe, adapting in ways that fit with the pressures and demands and desires all around us and within us. Ways that are in line with stories that we accept as being true and those we reject as being false. And we don't all get this right. Sometimes we get it backwards. It seems that the elders of Israel were not intentionally turning away from God, as if they knew this was high rebellion. They just looked at the culture around them and said, why can't we live that way too? It seems better than this way we're living. It's working for them. It should work for us. And with Saul, it was by degrees that he showed himself unfaithful. By degrees, not a blatant, in-your-face disobedience. If you read forward in this story in 1 Samuel, you'll see that Saul seemed to think he was being faithful. He was just cutting a few corners. He was just altering God's commands a bit. Well, we are all influenced. We're all influenced by what's around us, by different stories and interpretations, by perspectives of people to whom we bend our ears and in contrast to those who we do not. And we need to use care. We need to be prayerful and discerning all the time, as much now as ever, so that the stories we live by, which shape how we see life, that they actually fit with God's story, with Jesus' story. So when I was a little boy, my mom taught me a little song. I can still kind of hear her voice singing it in my head. I know some of you learn this song too. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above who's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. I told Kella and McKenna I was going to sing this morning just to give them some encouragement. And there are more verses. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above who's looking down in love. There's also this other verse. Be careful, little heart, who you trust. Be careful, little heart, who you trust. There's a Father up above who's looking down in love. Be careful, little heart, who you trust. Part of why I remember my mom singing that so many years ago is that she and my dad planted in me from early on an awareness of being loved by God and being answerable to God, that God knew what was going on in my life. It wasn't out of a fear of punishment as if God was ready to pounce on any mistake that happened. No, it was because of love. God loves me. God loves you. And God wants us to live by what is best, true, and right, just as we find it in God's Word, just as God has shown us through Jesus Christ, which is the greatest story that there is. Now, even though that little song is one we might sing to little kids or with little kids, right? It's really a song for all of us. Not just, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. But also, be careful, grown-up eyes, what you see. Be careful, grown-up hands, what you do. Be careful, grown-up ears, what you hear. Be careful, grown-up tongues, what you say. And, oh, be careful, grown-up hearts, who you trust. There's a Father up above who's looking of, be careful, grown-up hearts, who you trust. And it's what we all need. Care and thoughtfulness about what we allow into our eyes and ears, the stories that we take in that shape us, what we're willing to watch and listen to, what we click on with our computers or our phones, how we get influenced, It can be very, very good or not. We need care and thoughtfulness. And as people of faith, as people of the book, we need to have this as our lens. To have this as the primary story through which we see life and interpret things. And as we make decisions and turn this way and that, we need to ask, does this, whatever it is, or whoever is speaking to us, whatever is coming at us, does it fit with God? Does it fit with God's story? Is the truth of Jesus reflected here? And if so, then let's faithfully pursue that. But if not, then let's call it out for what it is, as wrong or selfish or prideful or just expedient. And then not go down that path, not support that cause or whatever it might be. And this is really complicated, isn't it? Because we know that right now there are so many, many different voices insisting that what we hear over there is completely wrong, but the story over here is completely right. And you got to wonder, like with the recent horrible increase of shootings, including 3 last night, what stories shape these people who shoot? Who are they listening to? What twisted story led them into such a dark place? And what's the story behind targeted attacks on Asian Americans and mosques and synagogues? What are the influences, what are the stories that keep racial division and hatred so alive today? What are these stories? We need to pay attention and be careful and to ask these questions. Does this, whatever it is, whoever is speaking into us, does it fit with God? With God's story? Is the truth of Jesus reflected? Or is it something else? And then name it. Partway through the psalm we heard earlier, Psalm 130, is this prayer. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. And hear it again, this time from the paraphrase called The Message. I pray to God, my life is a prayer. And I wait for what He'll say and do. My life is on the line before God. Waiting and watching till morning. Waiting and watching till morning. This is a prayer of the king who came after King Saul. King David. And even though David's life was far from flawless, his desire was to pursue God's will above all else. That was his heart's desire. Later on in 1 Samuel, David is described as a man after God's own heart. He was the man who prayed, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits for the Lord, and in His word I put my hope. We can look in all kinds of directions for hope, for direction, for validation of our lives and validation of our desires. And we all, every one of us, we are all subject to all sorts of influences. Stories are coming at us all the time. News, social media, politics, talk radio, movies, books. We'll tell stories as we have our picnic today. Stories are coming at us all the time. And sometimes we can get spun, even unintentionally, into views of life that are far away from God's word, into perspectives that disregard others, or that feed into prejudice, or that are more in line with power and privilege than they are with God's word and Jesus Christ. And then spinning sprawls in ways we might not see. Just like the people of Israel didn't see their rejection of God by their desire to be like other nations. They didn't see this as rejection. Just like Saul didn't see his modifying of God's commands as such a big deal. but it was. Well, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. And be careful, little heart, who you trust. Be careful, little heart, who you trust. There's a Father up above who's looking down in love. Be careful, little hearts. Be careful, big hearts, who you trust. Life is complicated, and we know that. But God has promised that He is with us in the midst of it, even right now, with all that complexity. And God has promised that by seeking His will, by holding His word as the central lens through which we see life and interpret things, then we are on solid ground. Not just the shifting sands of our own desires or the wrong and often unjust ways that some stories twist life as being. Most importantly, God has given us Jesus to open the way, to show us the way, to be the way. And in Jesus, we grow into fullness of life, new life and whole life. So in a moment, we're going to sing another song. And I think it complements this little song that I've sung this morning about little hearts and grown-up hearts. This song that we'll sing is a prayer that affirms Jesus as the King of our hearts. The King of our hearts. And I want to invite you, whether you know this song or not, to let these words be your prayer. Here are some of the words we'll sing in just a moment as a prayer, and then I'll pray. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. And let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. Pray with me. Oh, God, thank You that You're with us, that we're not just on our own here, making it up as we go, cobbling together stories to live by from here and there, but that You are present, and that You guide us, that Your Holy Spirit has been given to us, and that we have this immense treasure of Scripture to draw from and lean on, and how your Word really does come to life when we open ourselves to You. Thank You for life offered to us through Jesus, for the amazing grace of forgiveness, for the freshness of new life and new hope, for all the ways You bless us and guide us, even in the complexities of today. And Lord, for anyone here today who has grown distant from You, or who has never genuinely opened their life to You, by Your grace, close that gap and bring a profound sense of being loved and forgiven and filled. And for all of us, Lord, You know how we can get off track, how we can be influenced in all kinds of ways, all kinds of stories and interpretations coming at us that are not in line with Your will. So we need Your help. Help us to be humble and honest, holding on to Your word, to let Your truth embed us, and have Your word as the primary lens for life and living. Forgive us for how often we've gotten things wrong, the wrong paths we go down, the wrong causes we support, the wrong voices we allow inside. Forgive us and redirect us. And lastly, we pray for this world that carries so much pain, so many losses, so much prejudice, so many bullets. We pray for Your peace, for Your shalom, that You'll use us in ways that further Your shalom rather than hamper it. As we'll sing, may You be the King of our hearts, the source to meet our thirst, the wind in our sails, and the anchor in our storms. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.